Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 2nd of March 2015, the podcast that sits down to be counted. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week is Jacob Morris. Jacob, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be back.
Let's randomize the news of the bogus. Oh boy, this is bad. This is very bad.
Yep.
Let me start at the beginning. Okay, so a few years ago, Lenovo got IBM's desktop computer business, so they're making all the ThinkPads and everything else, and they're also making tablets. And about midway through last year, customers started noticing that Lenovo was putting adware on their computer. And what it was actually doing was whenever you visited a website, you'd see an ad on the website. But the viewing of the ad, and if you clicked on the ad to go there, that money wouldn't go to the website that you visited. It would go to Lenovo. So that was bad, and there was this huge backlash. Well, apparently it's gotten much bigger than this. They were using software from a company called Superfish, and they were using it on 43 different models, and this included their Flex, E, G, S, U, Y, and Z series laptops, and several Mix and Yoga tablets. And basically, in order to do this, it has to modify the HTML that you're getting from the website to put the ad in. Well, the thing is, it was also doing it on secure websites that start with HTTPS. And the way it does this is to intercept that secure negotiation between your browser and the website. So your browser thinks it's negotiating the cryptographic settings for the website. It's really doing it with Lenovo's server, and then Lenovo's server is going to the website. It's a man-in-the-middle attack. And so you think you're on this nice, secure connection to your bank or whatever. In reality, Lenovo's watching everything you're doing.
Well, that seems shady.
Well, and even if Lenovo wasn't doing anything but sending ads, I mean, this completely breaks the secure HTTP model. For at least Internet Explorer, Chrome, and Safari, all of these Lenovo laptops, if you're running this thing, you cannot rely on any of the security. An attacker could steal your password, get your credit card number, your banking information, all of that. And all they need to do it is the private key that they use to make these fake certificates. Okay, and they use the same private key, and it was the private key from a company called Comodia. Their software is based on the software from Comodia. And all of the Comodia software has the same private key. So it's not just Lenovo. I mean, they found this software running all sorts of things, including on shareware and freeware from download.com and places like that. All this software from Comodia running everywhere, intercepting your HTTPS traffic, all using the same private key, which means that anyone who has this installed on their computer can potentially decrypt the web traffic of anyone else who has it. Not only that, but Robert Graham of Errata Security found the key fairly easy with a search, and it turns out they're all locked with the same password, and the password is Comodia.
Well, that's genius.
Yeah, they were really making it secure. Yeah, so Graham said, quote, "The consequence is I can intercept the encrypted communications of Superfish's victims, people with Lenovo laptops, while hanging out near them at a cafe Wi-Fi hotspot. I can't find a password cracker on the internet that handles SSL PEM files, so I wrote my own certificate password cracker. It's pretty bad, using the OpenSSL Decrypt API in a single thread, so it's not pretty, but it's sufficient for my needs. I ran my cracking tool and found the password Comodia in 10 seconds.
It's got to be some kind of record.
Oh, I mean, this is bad. And see, you don't even need to do that now, because once the private key was decrypted, people started posting it on all these different websites. So if you want to, you can just go to one of these. You don't even have to go through what Graham did. You just go to one of these websites, download the private key, and you're good.
I remember that.
But it's even worse than that. Filippo Valsorda found out that you don't even need to crack the password. You don't even need to do the man-in-the-middle attack. SSL validation is so broken that if Commodia's proxy sees an invalid certificate on the website, it just makes it valid. So even without the private key, even without the password, even without anything like that, if you hijack the connection to put a bogus certificate in place, which everything in HTTPS is set up to avoid, Commodia makes it valid. And says, yep, this is a valid certificate. It's good. And so what he said was, quote, at this point, a legit doubt is, what will the Commodia proxy client do when it sees an invalid, untrusted, or self-signed certificate? Because copying it, changing its public key, and signing it would turn it into a valid one without warnings. Turns out that if a certificate fails validation, the Commodia proxy will still re-sign it, making it trusted. Now, it is done with a different domain name, but what he found was, quote, the Commodia proxy will take a self-signed certificate, leave the alternate names untouched, and sign it with their root. The browser will think it's a completely valid certificate. So all you need to do to bypass verification is put the target domain in the alternate field instead of the main one that will be changed on failure. An attacker can intercept any HTTPS connection, present a self-signed certificate to the client, and browsers will show a green lock because Commodia will sign it for them. Okay, so you're on one of these compromised laptops, and you're connecting to Amazon.com. Ordinarily, if someone tries to intercept it and try to stick their own certificate in place of Amazon.com, your browser is going to pop up and give you a warning, say, hey, wait a minute, this is the wrong certificate. It hasn't been properly signed. But what happens here is the hacker puts up the bogus certificate, the Commodia proxy gets the certificate, and then redoes it and signs it itself. And so as long as the hacker has put Amazon.com in the alternate name, then it will come straight through into your browser. As far as your browser knows, it's a valid certificate, and it's sending all your information to Amazon.com under the prying eyes of this hacker.
So in short, don't get the Lenovo laptops or tablets.
Well, they've taken it off, but a lot of people are like, you know, do we really trust them after this? Do we really want to continue to give them our business? But guess what? It's even worse than that. Because in order to put this on the computer and make it difficult to remove, Commodia uses a rootkit.
A rootkit.
To completely bypass all of your operating system security. I mean, basically, if they had set out deliberately to do everything wrong, I don't think they could have made this much of a mess of it.
It's like a perfect storm.
Yeah, so you got the man in the middle attack. You've got the weak password on the certificate. You've got re-signing of potentially invalid certificates. And you've got a rootkit.
So, nope.
So now a big question is my computer running this really horrible software? Well, our old friends, the LastPass people, have a checker for it. And I put a link to this in the show notes, and all you do is pull it up in your web browser. Hopefully you'll get the little fish with the green check, and it says you are safe. And I also put a link to another one on Filippo. That was the security expert that found the re-signing of the certificate. And this actually checks for Superfish, Commodia, and another one that's going around called PrivDog, and he's keeping it updated. And it's a little more involved, but it'll say, good, Superfish is probably not intercepting your connections. Also, no other SSL-disabling product was detected on your system. So it checks for some of the tricks there that happen when man-in-the-middle attacks use malware to try and get around HTTPS. But you know what the thing that scares me the most is? I mean, we're seeing a lot of this kind of stuff lately, all these malware, these rootkits, all these companies behaving badly. And there seems to be a lot more concern and reporting about it. What if this sort of thing has been going on all the time and we just haven't heard about it as much? I mean, if people hadn't found this on the Lenovo laptop, none of this would have come to light. And people not just using Lenovo's, but using all this other software that's running Superfish would be doing the same thing. So yeah, this is bad. This is really, really bad.
Yeah.
Say, if you're tired of the promos in this podcast, well, the patrons got it early and with no ads or promos. Just go to patreon.bogosity.tv and donate at any level. Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Backup sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.bogosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.bogosity.tv and get LastPass now. So, all along we've been debunking the claims of Iran getting nuclear weapons, since what they have is in every way an enrichment program for reactor-grade uranium, and is completely ineffective at making weapons-grade uranium. Well, Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, has been making all sorts of noise about how Iran is this close to making nukes, and how that would threaten the world, but now, a leaked document from his own Secret Service shows clearly that they knew all along that this was not the case.
Must be.
Yeah, so this is another leaked document reported in The Guardian, which wrote, quote, Israel's intelligence agency concluded that Iran was, quote, not performing the activity necessary to produce weapons, unquote. Unquote, the Iran quote, still quoting The Guardian. The report highlights the gulf between the public claims and rhetoric of top Israeli politicians and the assessment of Israel's military and intelligence establishment. The documents, almost all marked as confidential or top secret, spanned almost a decade of global intelligence traffic from 2006 to December last year. It has been leaked to the Al Jazeera investigative unit and shared with The Guardian. And so they have a snippet of the document there, and it says, quote, even though Iran has accumulated enough 5% enriched uranium for several bombs and has enriched some of it to 20%, and by the way, you need to get it up to 90% or more to build a bomb, it does not appear to be ready to enrich it to higher levels. Because, I mean, the way this works is it's a lot more difficult to enrich it from 85% to 95% than it is to enrich it from 15% to 20%. It gets exponentially harder. It is allocating some of it to produce nuclear fuel for the TRR, and the amount of 20% enriched uranium is therefore not increasing. And they also revealed some other things like, quote, the CIA attempted to establish contact with Hamas in spite of a U.S. ban. South Korean intelligence targeted the leader of Greenpeace. Barack Obama threatened the Palestinian president to withdraw a bid for recognition of Palestine at the U.N., and South African intelligence spied on Russia over a controversial $100 million joint satellite deal. So, I mean, this seems big, like the Snowden leaks are big.
So, business as usual.
Yeah, pretty much. But yet more evidence that they've just been lying to us all along, which we knew anyway. But it'd be really nice if one of them at some point was held accountable for it.
Well, business as usual.
Yeah. You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your Bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers, and Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.bogosity.tv, you won't pay a penny more, excuse me, a Satoshi more for your purchase. But you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.bogosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now. So we've talked about net neutrality before and how the whole thing is basically a con to get people to let the government regulate the internet like they've been wanting to do all along. Now, three unelected bureaucrats just decided on their own that net neutrality was the law, bypassing the entire legislative process.
Not just three unelected bureaucrats, millions of people asked them to do this.
Oh yeah, that's how tyranny works. People run to them begging for their freedoms to be taken away because you've menaced them with some hobgoblin.
Yeah.
You know, these big, bad cable monopolies and things like that.
It's sad that these are the same people who also raged against SOPA and PIPA.
Yeah. I mean, what's up with that? SOPA and PIPA come along with, don't regulate the internet. Don't regulate the internet. Okay, we'll just relabel it net neutrality. Yay, it's net neutrality. Oh.
Okay, there's this 300-page document in this locked box that's going to fix everything.
Yeah.
You can't see it. We won!
Yeah, 332 pages long, not available to the public.
We won!
All we know about it is what they've told us. And what they've told us so far is that broadband providers, up till now, have been classified as Title I information services. Now they'll be considered Title II telecommunications services, which makes them public utilities like the phone company.
Yeah, and like there's going to be like taxes and other stuff?
Well, according to FCC Commissioner Ajit Pai, yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. New taxes and new fees on internet services are going to be coming, and they've been denying it. Like, oh, no, we don't have any plans right now to raise your taxes. Well, that's now, but all this will do is just give them the power to do that in the future whenever they want to.
Insert Fox going to the hen house.
Yeah. There seems to be a lot of that going on.
Well, once he's saying it becomes a thing, I am getting the galt out of here.
Yeah, but then you'll have to rely on satellite for internet, so that won't be much fun.
Yeah, I'll play single-player games. And I'll rely on GOG for DRM-free games.
There you go.
Don't have to log in like on Steam.
So, according to the FCC's press release, basically the three rules that they're going to be enforcing are no blocking, which means they may not block access to legal content, application services, or non-harmful devices. Now, what constitutes legal? What constitutes non-harmful? No throttling. Broadband providers may not impair or degrade lawful internet traffic. Again, what is lawful? On the basis of content, application services, or non-harmful devices. No paid prioritization. Broadband providers may not favor some lawful internet traffic over other lawful internet traffic in exchange for consideration of any kind. In other words, no fast lanes. This rule also bans internet service providers, ISPs, from prioritizing content and services of their affiliates. Well, you know, I hope your life never depends on telemedicine that needs to run over a congested network that isn't allowed to prioritize it.
Yeah, but it's going to be tied up in court, the whole thing.
Well, we'll have to see.
Might get struck down again, like the last two times.
But, I mean, what's depressing is seeing blogs like Naked Security just falling for it, because what they say is, quote, Chairman Tom Wheeler was a yes man for the telecommunications industry. That's understandable, given that he lobbied for them in the past. Wheeler surprised everyone when he stood up for consumers. Now, wait a minute. Wheeler and the other two commissioners who voted for this, as well as Barack Obama, who urged them to do this, as well as pretty much all the politicians who have been calling for this, all receive heavy campaign donations and lobbying money from the big cable companies and the big telcos, AT&T, Comcast, all of those. Yeah.
No, there's nothing shady going on. There's no unintended consequences.
Well, I mean, what's it going to mean for Google Fiber? Because it's just going to be more expensive to get going. They're going to come up with even more restrictions. It's going to be even harder for Google Fiber and other competing services to move into those areas.
Yeah. Competition? Who wants that?
Yeah, not one word about competition. Not one word about the real problem, which is these big cable and telco monopolies that need to be just ended so we can have competition. I mean, you know, you can still let them do business, but just let other people come in and compete with them. What is so difficult about that?
But Shane, that's the simple free market way to do it. It's evil.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, this is just going to more firmly entrench the monopolies. So.
Yeah.
So Wheeler said, quote, "The internet is the most powerful and pervasive platform on the planet. It is simply too important to be left without rules and without a referee on the field. Think about it. The internet has replaced the functions of the telephone and the post office. The internet has redefined commerce, and as the outpouring from 4 million Americans has demonstrated, the internet is the ultimate vehicle for free expression. The internet is simply too important to allow broadband providers to be the ones making the rules."
That's why they want control of it.
Right. They want to be the ones making the rules.
It's their precious.
"This proposal has been described by one opponent as a secret plan to regulate the internet. Nonsense. This is no more a plan to regulate the internet than the First Amendment is a plan to regulate free speech." No. Wait a minute. The First Amendment restricts the government from doing things and says, government, you cannot do this. This is the opposite. This is saying, government, please come into this area where we've had freedom and put all sorts of restrictions on it.
It's not like they care about the First Amendment. I mean, it's just a piece of paper. That's not going to stop them. It's not going to grow teeth and bite them.
Yeah. He said, quote, "They both stand for the same concepts, openness, expression, and an absence of gatekeepers telling people what they can do, where they can go, and what they can think. Unless we're the gatekeepers. Then it's great." So the BBC described it, quote, "Broadband will be reclassified as a common carrier, seeing it regulated like a utility because something made for a system that existed in the 1940s is so relevant to today in the 21st century. ISPs will have to provide consumers with equal quality access across the board. ISPs cannot speed up or block connections for a fee. ISPs cannot strike backdoor deals with content providers, pay prioritization. Interconnection deals will be regulated." Now, we actually talked about those a few months ago. From the things like we talked about what Level 3 and Cogent did as transit providers to work out how they're going to do things, and as long as the traffic they're sending back and forth is the same, then they won't have to pay each other anything, and it's only if there's an imbalance. They worked that out themselves, and it's worked great. You don't need to regulate that. The market's already done that. Anyway, quote, "The public can report unjustified slowdowns to the FCC on a case-by-case basis." Now, how's that going to work? If you have a slowdown, how are you going to know if it's your ISP throttling the traffic or a router along the way that's congested or whatever? There's no way to tell. I mean, the only way Netflix was able to do it, as we talked about, is they just kind of noticed a trend over time. It's like, hey, there's a whole bunch of slowdowns on these IP addresses. Who has these IP addresses? Oh, Verizon does, so it'll alert Verizon customers about the slowdown. That's how you tell that. You can't do that individually on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah. I was kind of steamed yesterday about all this.
Yeah.
I took my anger out on some spiders in Ultima Underworld, so now I'm just kind of mellow about it. Like, it's no use.
"The same rules will apply to mobile providers and fixed line providers, and the FCC will not control pricing plans. Yet. We promise. Really. Honest.
We're not going to use this cudgel. We promise. It's only there in case."
Oh, but let's just ignore the fact that the problem is monopolies.
Yeah.
Because the market's horrible because it creates monopolies, but when government makes monopolies, they're A-okay and we all love them.
Wasn't net neutrality started in like 1996?
Oh, they've been talking about this for a long time.
Yeah, like...
not a new thing.
20th century problem, 21st century solution.
Nothing about broadband, nothing about Netflix or anything like that, long before any of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy. I've been very satisfied with GoDaddy's services and their wonderful 24/7 customer support for over 10 years now. So I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or other service and get 35% off with the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet hosting. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv, or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. And now let's take down this week's biggest bogon emitter. So we've all seen bogus DMCA takedown requests. Many of us have been victims of them. I've emphasized in the past that this is not a corruption of the DMCA, but exactly what it was supposed to do all along. But the Total Wipes Music Group has come along and taken this to even more ridiculous proportions. And so this is a report from Google on their Chilling Effects webpage, and I have the links to all these in the show notes. They've done this before, taken all sorts of pages that have entirely legal content that has nothing to do with any of their products, including Walmart, IKEA, Fairtrade USA, Dunkin' Donuts, things like that. And then a little after that, they decided to protect Maze Records' album Truth or Dare by censoring an article on Torrent Freak on how to download anonymously. And they also targeted all sorts of privacy-focused articles just because they have the word hide in them.
Hide?
Yeah.
Like a beehive?
No, hide. Like you're hiding something.
Oh, hide.
Hide.
That's even worse.
Yeah. Then they tried protecting an album called Cigarettes from Mona Records.
Cigarettes.
That's the name of the album. By sending Google a notice with all these links, not a single one of which had infringing content. One of them was an article published by someone I'm a big fan of, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, on how to use PGP on the Mac.
So another privacy-related thing.
Yeah.
There's a pattern?
So now, here's the big one that's just come in. Allegedly infringing on the album Into the Wild Volume 7 on Aboriginal Music, over 95 URLs, none of which have any music whatsoever, and are mostly download pages of very popular software. This includes chat software like Ubuntu, IRQ, Skype, and Pigeon, Linux distros, Arch Linux, Red Hat, Linux Mint, and Ubuntu.
Not Ubuntu.
Yep.
That's, I have that on my laptop.
I've got Ubuntu and Linux Mint on various computers around here.
Yeah.
BitTorrent clients, Views, and uTorrent. Software development tools, Eclipse, Python, Unity 3D, Ruby, NetBeans, Raspberry Pi, GitHub, Java, and all sorts of Java development tools.
Unity 3D?
Yeah.
I make games with that.
Yeah, that's a platform for making 3D games that'll run on multiple computing systems.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. Database tools like SQLite, MySQL, and PHP MyAdmin. They also got my favorite text editor, Notepad++. It's a text editor, and it formats things for whatever you're typing in, HTML, Python, or whatever. And, of course, encryption software. Apparently, they don't like encryption software because they want them to take down WhatsApp, LastPass, KeePass, the Tor client, and GNU Privacy Guard.
Table flip.
They also went after graphics software, PDF Forge, Paint.net, GIMP, Inkscape, VLC, Handbrake, FFmpeg, and UrfanView. Office software from AbbeySource, which does things like AbbeyWord, OpenOffice, LibreOffice, and TeamViewer. Web server software, including Apache, Nginx, PHP, BB, and Joomla. Anti-malware software, including Malwarebytes and AVG. And all sorts of other free software, which includes Wine, GeoGebra, Calibre, Kodi, PuTTY, the Pureform tools, I love those. They make Defraggler and CCleaner and things like that. 7-Zip, VMware, everything on FileHippo, FileZilla, which is what I use to upload the podcast, Dropbox, and Opera.
What did they go after?
I don't know. It's just like all sorts of things. And none of these are things that they actually own or have any rights to whatsoever. And according to Google's transparency support, Total Wipes has made a median of 1,214 requests per week to take down a median 3,850 URLs per week. And all total, that's over 41,000 requests to take down almost 200,000 URLs. Yeah. Do we need any more evidence that the DMCA is a bad thing?
I don't think so.
So that just has to make Total Wipes Music Group this week's biggest bogon emitter. History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's LibertyClassroom.com. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, LibertyClassroom.com teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com. And now let's dare to bear this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Dun-dun.
I think that's the first one of those I've done that's actually rhymed. And this week, it goes to Montana House Representative David Moore, who introduced a bill to the State House Judiciary Committee to outlaw, get this, tight clothing.
Well, that's another state I'm not visiting.
Which includes any item of clothing that, quote, gives the appearance or simulates, whatever that means, a person's buttocks, genitals, pelvic area, and women's nipples. Men's nipples are A-OK.
I agree.
So if you wanted to cosplay as Batman and Robin from the Schumacher movies, I guess that would be fine.
I'm starting to notice a pattern.
So he introduced the bill after a Bear As You Dare bicycle event went through Missoula, Montana on August 17th of last year. And this was where all these people rode their bikes through the city completely naked in a celebration of body image and a protest of bicyclists' right to use public roads.
So wait, this is because people were riding naked, not because they were wearing tight clothing.
Right.
Point. Yes.
And Moore also said, quote, yoga pants should be illegal in public anyway.
Really?
Uh-huh. No more yoga pants. And you also have Walt Hill, a retired professor, who's the one who introduced the bill, quote, I want Montana to be known as a decent state where people can live within the security of laws and protect their children and associates from degrading and indecent practices.
Not to get any poorer? Never heard of it.
I believe this bill is written preserving that reputation. I mean, if nothing else, it baffles me. It completely baffles me. I mean, like, the 14 frames of Janet Jackson's boob and everyone went hysterical about it. They went, think about the kids when it's about, especially when it's about the female breast. They want to protect the children from female breasts. What do most children spend the first 6 months to a year of their life up against several times a day suckling?
Well, they should.
So, Representative Virginia Court opposes the bill because it unfairly targets women. Quote, I think you're kind of being a little prejudiced against women because it goes after women's nipples, but not men's nipples. Now, that's a valid point, but that's not the only problem I have with this.
Well, what else is there?
How about let people wear what they want and you don't have to look at it?
But that would be the simple free market thing.
I mean, even if people are riding their bikes naked down the street, did that give someone a heart attack? Did that rob someone of their money? Did that...
Think of the children.
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get nudity provisions at all. Yeah, like children have never seen anyone naked.
You know, we keep having these zombie movies and games. They're the zombies.
Yeah.
Rah, patriarchy. Rah, net neutrality. Rah, people's bodies.
I think so, and they're just trying to kick and scream to keep from being dragged into the 21st century. So that just has to make David Moore this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire.
Well, that wraps up this All I Can Think Of Is Sweaty Japanese Guys edition of the Bogosity Podcast.
Well, now you got that in my head.
As always, you can come to forum.bogosity.tv to read the show notes and join the discussion. This podcast depends on you to keep going, so please donate using the links on the website or at patreon.bogosity.tv. And feel free to join in by sending a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. You can even stick it in an audio file if you want. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Jacob Morris for joining me.
Glad to be here.
Until next time, here's a quote from Lawrence Lessig. Creativity and innovation always builds on the past. The past always tries to control the creativity that builds upon it. Free societies enable the future by limiting this power of the past. Ours is less and less a free society. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Derivative 3.0 imported license.
Bogosity.
Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.
Can we make like a new thing for the net neutrality, like zombies of the month or something?
I don't know.
Yeah.
We just have so many zombies, I don't know.
Yeah.